Hello out there in Randolph County, and we are pleased to have you with us in our Bible study program. This is Mike Moody, and we're looking at Elijah this week in 1 Kings chapters 17, 18, 19, and we may look a little further, but today we're in chapter 19. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into your presence and worship your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just ask that you would encourage hearts today, those that might be in nursing homes, those that might be listening at work, those that might be traveling in their car, those at home. We pray that you encourage the housewives and everyone that may be tuning in today. We just ask that your word would do a work in their heart. We pray if there's a lost soul listening that you might encourage them through your spirit to turn to Christ and repent and have him as their own Savior. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Again, 1 Kings chapter 19, the man Elijah. We've seen thus far this week a man of prayer, a man of like passions as we are, a man of God. Yet, today in chapter 19, we see even people that are bold in their service for the Lord, people that are very prayerful people, can be challenged and have their faith tested. We see this man, Elijah, today is under the juniper tree. It was just chapter 18, in our studies yesterday, that this man was mocking the 450 false prophets of Baal, the false gods. And we see he mocked them, and he challenged them. And he said, I'm the only prophet that's following the true God here. And fire came down from heaven and proved that. The Lord was the true God, and many people fell down. It says all the people in verse 39 of chapter 18 saw what had happened. They fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. But then today, in chapter 19, we see in Ahab, which was that wicked, evil king, told Jezebel, now that, of course, is his wife, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. What do we have here? We have a threat from Ahab's wife, Jezebel. Jezebel, as we study through this portion here in the chapters pertaining to Elijah, we see that more than one time she comes up and causes havoc. We see this man Elijah, a man that is sold out for God, a man that would stand under the pressure of being before an evil king such as Ahab, the most evil king Israel had seen it up to that point. He would stand up against 450 false prophets and the people surrounding him. He would stand up under such circumstances as being alone, being provided for by God's way, only a raven and then a poor widow. This man was a man of prayer, but what does he do when he's challenged, when he's threatened by this woman Jezebel? Well, liken this to all of us that are Christians. We may be bold in many ways, but you know, there's usually something out there that has a way of causing us to buckle our knees. There's some problem, some difficulty out there in each of our lives that's more difficult for us to deal with than other things. Something that might be secondary to another Christian, but it's a challenge to us here. The challenge to Elijah is this evil woman, Jezebel, with her threat. This is what Elijah said. Verse 3 of 19, he says, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him. And he said unto him, arise and eat. Well, before the angel said this, what do we see with Elijah? Elijah was there depressed. He was looking as if he was the only one with problems. A man that had been bold is now asking the Lord to take his life away. You know, with this, I would exhort the believers today, take the challenge, have courage, and then have confidence in the Lord. Sometimes we take a challenge, and sometimes we might appear to have courage, but when our confidence is in ourselves, where do we stand? Take the challenge, have courage, but have confidence in the Lord. You know, think of being competitive. I was at the coast at a family campground just a few weeks ago, taking my children down there. We ran across some people that we knew, and some of these young men were playing basketball, and they were, as far as I know, the whole group was Christians, and they were playing, being very competitive. I know how it was a few years ago when I was their age. I'd be very competitive. Well, these men were very competitive. They had taken the challenge. It was the older ones, the ones in college playing the high school kids. They took the challenge. They had courage, and they went on. But, you know, sometimes it looked like maybe they was having confidence a little bit in themselves. I remember back how I was when I played athletics. You know, I'd take a challenge, but, you know, I'd get a little bit too competitive. I'd get wound up a little bit, and I'd be looking at myself. And I just was reminded of that when some of these nice fellows were playing basketball. And one or two of them seemed to get a little bit too competitive. And they were getting a little bit wound up, you'd say. But it made me think, let's do God's work, but do it God's way. That's a conference I went to. The title of that conference, it was called God's Work, God's Way. You know, as Elijah, we all have something that hinders us, something that's a thorn in the flesh. But, you know, with Ahab, it might not have been the 450 prophets or this evil King Ahab, but it was an ungodly woman. What is it in your life? Think of John the Baptist, of how he was bold, the forerunner to Christ, and what happened. He stood up and told this man in authority that he was in sin for having his brother's wife. But what happened? His head was delivered on a charger by an evil woman. He had been sent into prison. And then think about Paul, the apostle Paul over there in 2 Timothy. We see there in his swan song, if you will, in chapter 4, where he said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. But then he goes on, and he says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered at the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was there about to lose his life, but what was he telling this young man, Timothy? Preach the word in season, out of season. You know, we think of death as a defeat, don't we? But when it comes to what our Lord and Savior did, think of him upon the cross. Think of how he defeated death, hell, and the grave. He said, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that in death we think of defeat, but when Christ died on the cross, it was the greatest victory ever won. Because he rose from the grave, and he was seen by over 500 brethren, and then he ascended back to the glory to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory be to God. His death was a victory. So when we think of Paul, he had that in mind. He had it in mind that he could say with authority to this man Timothy, preach the word. Although he knew he was losing his life himself, Paul also said, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Oh, to live for Christ. For we can live for Christ when we know that our death will be a victory. To be in the presence of the Lord. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And now we think back to Elijah under that juniper tree in 1 Kings chapter 19. What do we see? In verse 5, when the angel came to them and said, arise and eat, well, we see a time to arise. We see that cake and water was brought to him. Think of cake as substance. Think of water. We think of the Word of God. When we're under the juniper tree, what do we need? We need some substance. We need the water of the Word. We need that encouragement, and it comes from the Word of God. You know, how many times is it quoted to a believer when he's very sick or maybe on his deathbed? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Word of God is what someone needs, a believer needs when they are under the juniper tree. The Word is what someone needs when they're lost and in depression. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We see as we go down to verse 7 and 8, the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Oh, my friend, in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that His grace is sufficient for thee. We can't do the journey. We can't take this journey on our own. Peter in 1 Peter tells the believers that are scattered abroad, he calls them pilgrims and strangers that are scattered. He exhorts them to hold fast to the Lord, that even through trials and sufferings, if you suffer, suffer as a Christian, is what he exhorts them to do, not for evil doing. But in 2 Corinthians again, it tells us that, speaking of Christ, His grace is sufficient for thee. So we see here, Elijah is told that the journey is too great for himself, so he needs to gather some strength, and strength comes as we apply it from the Word of God. My friend, be instant. Be in the Word of God. Be diligent. And that will help you in your time under the juniper tree. Hopefully you won't be under the juniper tree very long or very often, as this man Elijah. So we see quickly now, verse 11, and behold, the Lord passed, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, and the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And it says then in verse 12, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. My friend, these things that God created, the creation such as wind, earthquakes, and fire, that's not what we're after. But what we're looking for is how the Spirit of God deals with us by that still, small voice. The Lord wasn't in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but there He was with Elijah with that still, small voice. Join us tomorrow for the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.